focus on you, God, to love you with all our hearts. God, I ask that you would open our eyes, Lord, to see your glory. God, the glory and the beauty of the cross in all of its majesty and power. God, the resurrection power of salvation. God, the blood that covers our sins. God, it beckons us to heaven. God, we thank you for that. God, for dying for us.
See his love nailed onto a cross, perfect and blameless life.
Jesus. A million words could not describe how marvelous your perfect life is. I adore you. I will sing it with all my heart. I adore you.
And I enjoy watching football. And one of the things I've noticed about when you see fans at a football game, you know, you see like, I'm a Seahawks fan, and you see a whole stadium full of Seahawks fans, and they're just going crazy. And you'll see one person that's, you know, like a Steelers fan or some other fan, like right in the middle of them, and he just looks so out of place. And, you know, he's like, yeah! And they're all like, you know, staring at him like, you don't belong here. And it's amazing because all of those Seahawks fans in that whole place are not intimidated by that one person, are they? There's just an overwhelming push. They know what they're there for. They know why they're there. They know what they're about, right? You guys here, we're a family. And there's one thing that we're about. And that's Him. Now your friend to your right or to your left, they might be wearing the wrong uniform. But that's okay, because I want to tell you that we are about something. This place is a safe place to be about Him. And it's a safe place for you to express that you're all about Him. So look to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Say it loud. Say, neighbor. Say, I'm about Him. Say, neighbor. I'm going to act like I'm about Him. Say, neighbor. I'm going to worship like I'm about Him. Now we're going to sing this song again. I adore Him. Now listen. I got my jersey on. I'm fixing on being about Him. Why are you here tonight? Can you guys be about Him with me tonight? Come on. Yeah, that's right. Take off those warm clothes. Kind of stretch it out a little bit. There's one reason to be here tonight. It's to be about Him. Amen? All right. Come on, guys. Let's do this.
Peter and John were two apostles that followed Jesus. And can we dim down the lights in the face, please? Thanks. This is two apostles that followed Jesus. And, Peter, the crazy one, and the guy who walked on water, and John, the other guy who laid on Jesus' chest, probably the youngest one. John was probably 16. Peter was probably mid-20s. In the book of Acts, it records what these guys did. And so Peter and John get arrested because they're preaching Jesus and people getting healed and amazing things are happening and people are getting converted. And it says in Acts 4:13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus." Interesting. They were untrained and uneducated, but they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed, some guy that's got healed, now standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor touch in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. They threatened them, and Peter and John say, "We can't but speak of the things which we have seen and heard." Two uneducated, untrained disciples. Growing up as fishermen. And they basically look at these guys and they say, "There's nothing you can do to stop me from talking about this Jesus. There's nothing you can do to stop me from living my life for him." Actually, in Acts 2:42, we're just studying what the early church looked like. It was the golden times of the church. This describes what was going on. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and the many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need." They were living this radical life, and people began to notice them as people who spent time with Jesus. Their name were the people of the way, is what they were called, and that's who they were known as, is the people of the way, which was the way of Jesus. John gets put in oil and is baked in hot oil, boiling oil. Many of them were crucified, beheaded. One, Peter, was hung upside down on a cross. And the whole time they say, "You can't do anything to stop me from talking about what I've seen and what I've heard." And what was he talking about? He was talking about a great big God who laid down his life and paid a price that no one could pay. See, I remember when Christmas time came around, my dad would give each of us — you might find this nice and amazing, and you might be wanting this anointing, you can receive it maybe. My parents would give each of us kids $500 cash and say, "Go buy your presents for your brothers." And that sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? Because at this point, you can just spend $200 on your brother and he'll love you forever. And it was simple, because I knew that if I went over 500, my dad would pay me back. What am I saying? I'm saying that that we need to live lives and we need to give our lives up for the right cause, but for a reason. And that reason is because we have seen and we've heard things. And those things tell us that it doesn't matter what anybody else says, what my teacher says, what my parents say. I'm going to trade my life for this Jesus. And I'm not going to worry about whether he's going to provide for me, because I know he's got all the money. He's got everything in his hands. We're talking about the God who is, his name means provider. That's his name. I'm the provider. He didn't only provide a son to die and pay your sins. My goodness, if he paid for your eternal salvation, he's going to help you out here on earth. And so for you to live a life that is, God, I'm just going to keep serving you no matter what. This makes sense. It makes sense for us to come and give our tithe and for us to give money because of what Jesus did for us. It makes sense to give 10%. It makes sense to give our whole lives. Amen. I want to be people like the early church. I don't want to just talk about the book of Acts. I want to keep living the book of Acts. Amen. I want to keep seeing things. And it starts with just the attitude of, look, I don't care what you do to me or what you say. I'm going to keep giving because my Jesus is alive today. I've seen him. I've met him. He's changed my life. I'm never going to be the same. Man, if you don't have that, then don't give. If you're not giving out of a response to what God did on the cross for you, then I don't know what you're giving for. But we have a good reason to give tonight, and it's because of what Jesus did on the cross. Amen? So if we could bring down the buckets, we're going to be giving of our tithe, which is 10% of your income. And if you want to give more, you can give more. Don't be under compulsion. But I want you tonight that if you are planning on already giving, I want you to understand why you're giving. And I want to encourage you to be men and women of faith, that you believe that your God is a provider. And let's not doubt, let's not question him. Come on. Let's be strong in our faith and let's give tonight. Amen? His name is the provider. And so we can trust, I'll give my money, I'll give my time, I'll give my finances, and he'll take care of me. There is nothing that you can do. I'm going to keep telling and I'm going to keep giving my money and I'm going to keep tithing. Whether America goes into a crisis or not, I'm going to keep going. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight, God, we thank you that you are the provider. Come on, you got to tell yourself, God, my God is the provider. My God is the provider. Not Osama bin Laden. No, he's not the provider. Not Allah. No, not Buddha. No, not Jehovah's Witness. Not even their God. Not the Mormons' God. No, Jesus Christ. Come on, Jesus Christ. My God is my provider. And he has all things for me. He holds all things, all riches and all power and all glory is in his hands. And I trust him. You got to tell yourself this. You got to tell yourself that you are trusting him. And so tonight when you give, let it be in faith and let it be in generosity. God, tonight we ask for a blessing over this offering, over the money that is given. God, we ask that you would give an increase not only to what has happened, not only to multiply what's happening here, but also in each personal person that is giving tonight, you would multiply the basket, what they're holding, and also multiply, God, what this church is holding. God, tonight we're asking for a special blessing over this offering. God, tonight we give because we love you. God, tonight we give because you're good. God, tonight we give because we trust that you are the provider. And God, nothing's going to stop us. Nothing's going to stop us. We're going to keep giving. We're going to keep preaching. We're going to keep telling people about who you are no matter what, because you are amazing. You've changed our lives. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's come and give.
Come on, worship him tonight. Awesome in this place. Come on, begin to pray for your friends right now. God, we're praying for our friends that don't know you, God. God, we're asking that you would move on their life and you would pour out your spirit on them. You would bless them, God. God, we pray that you would call them out of hell and into heaven, God. God, we're praying that you would move on behalf of our friends and our family, God. Come on, come on, lift up your voices for your friends right now. Call them by name. Call them by name. God, we're praying for these people, God. God, that you would move on their lives sovereignly, God, and they would respond to you. A loving Father that desires to be in relationship with them, God. God, that your desire is that all men might be saved, God. That our sins might be forgiven, that our guilt might be washed away, that our shame might be no more, God. God, we're asking that you would use us to reconcile, to buy back this world from the devil, God. God, we worship you tonight. God, we pray for our workplaces and our schools, God, that you would move there, Lord God, that you would bring life where death abides, God. God, tonight we pray that you would destroy abortion in this country. Come on, lift your voices with me. God, we're asking that you would end the death and the murder of babies, Lord God. God, we're calling on you. God, we repent, Lord God, as a nation. And God, as a generation who has lost many, many lives to this, God. We're asking that you would heal us. God, you would heal our land, God. That you would pour out your spirit and you would break the hand of the wicked one in this place, God. God, we're asking that you would end this tragedy. God, we're praying for the young ladies that have had this happen to them. God, that you would heal their hearts, God. God, that you would break the rule of fear in their life, God, and you would just heal them. God, you would pour out your love over them, God. You would pour out forgiveness and grace, Lord God. God, end this in our country, God. Use our generation to destroy this work of the devil. God, we're not going to submit to him. God, we're not going to just roll over our backs and say, well, the world's going to hell, so you might as well give this one to the devil. No, God, we're an army. God, we set our faces against him. We set our faces against murder and against destruction in our country, God. God, we love you tonight. God, when we touch you in worship, God, we pray that you would respond by saving our friends. God, we pray that you would respond past tonight, past the point of us touching you, God, but that you would touch our worlds. God, that you would redeem our worlds and you would buy back our friends. Jesus, your word says that you came to set those free who all their lives were held in captivity, God. God, we expect nothing less for our generation. God, we expect nothing less than a God who buys back that which was stolen. We love you tonight. Love you tonight, God. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen.